kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I would like to share the word with you today, and we have, as usual, a title for our teaching, and we're calling this Salt Must Be Added. Salt Must Be Added. And I'd like us, if we were to start this in the book of Leviticus, and we're looking at chapter 2 and verse 13 in the book of Leviticus, and let's just remind ourselves that God has chosen the children of Israel. They are new to the faith. They are being brought out of the wilderness, or being brought through the wilderness. They've been brought out of bondage, under the bondage of Pharaoh in Egypt. And they now have to learn about approaching Almighty God, the holiness of God. And Leviticus is a book in many ways. It's like a guidebook for the newly redeemed people, and showing them how that they worship God, how they serve him, how they're to obey him and enter into fellowship and the presence of Almighty God. And it opens up with the burnt offering. And then in the second chapter, it's dealing about the grain offering. And with the grain offering, it's interesting because we read here in verse 13, and it says, "And every offering of your grain offering, you shall season it with salt, and you shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt." And of course, the offering, the grain offering, like much of the offerings, were first fruits unto the Lord. And we know very clearly what the first fruits reveal. They are brought in first from the harvest, and it's revealing what is to come, to follow. So always the first fruits were brought in first and offered up before Almighty God. And this is where we get the idea of the first fruits in these last days, a remnant that God is calling, the overcomers who are going to be presented on the altar. So as I say, we're calling this teaching today, Salt Must Be Added. Now, we've long known, haven't we, that salt is a preservative. And God's covenant with us is preserved. God has preserved this covenant that is made now through Jesus Christ. It is an eternal covenant. So we first then get this idea of salt being a preservative. God also has preserved his covenant that he has made with man through Jesus Christ. We also know that salt is a very pure chemical compound. And we know also that salt preserves. So the idea of the salt preserving is that we endure. We've had much teaching, haven't we, over the years, that he that endures to the end shall be saved. So every walk that each of us have, with its trials and testings and so on, we have the assurance that the Lord has gone before and prepared the way. And here we get this idea of the salt that preserves. There's also another idea of salt, and that is that salt is valuable. Now, of course, in the ancient times and the times of the Hebrews, salt was traded amongst nations, Egyptians and Greeks and so on, but it was expensive. It wasn't cheap. So we then again get the idea that salt, the value of salt, is what it cost Jesus Christ in which to redeem us, to bring us back in fellowship with Almighty God. But salt also speaks of purity, purifying. You see, to preserve, you must, as I said, salt must be that pure chemical compound, no blemish that is found in it, in which to do its work. And so, in its purity, we know that Christ was that pure sin offering on the cross, and he took the punishment of our guilt in his flesh. So likewise now, through the blood of Jesus and our faith in him, God sees us as pure as well. We've already said that it has a preservation to it. So this preservation is costly. And our commitment, our sacrifice that we make to God, Romans 12, 1 and 2, costs. And what does it cost? It costs you all to make it into the kingdom of God. And as I've shown many, many times, you cannot give more to God than your heart that you place upon the altar. So there again is this figurative idea of salt that is costly. But not only is it a sacrifice, but Christ's sacrifice on the cross has now enabled us that we are clean and pure in the eyes of Almighty God. So are you beginning now to get an understanding of what this is referring to with regard to salt must be added? It has to be added. And we're going to look at this in further depth as well. So I've just briefly expounded here in verse 13 of Leviticus 2 what this seasoning was that was presented on the altar with the grain offering. Now, I've already said that salt is to cure meats, and indeed it has done right through the centuries and still is today, particularly if you eat ham. Ham is cured by salt. Now, what does this deal with? Well, this deals with the nature of our flesh. So as curing meat is flesh, so spiritually this salt also deals with our flesh life. It preserves our flesh. We are still in the flesh. Even though God is with us, he's filled us with his spirit, he's made tabernacle with us, he dwells with us, we are one with him and so on, but we are still also fleshly. So that flesh has to be preserved and kept. And this is why I hold so strongly with the word of God and the promises of God that we have wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. The gospel, the word of God, is to the whole man, the whole person. And we see this with the idea of salt and the nature of it also to preserve our flesh in this life. Or salt also speaks of our fellowship. Now, it's interesting that in the Old Testament, the idea of fellowship was understood by the two coming into fellowship, the eating of salt. Salt was part of a union, a bond, two coming together. In other words, what it signified by eating salt together, you and I are going to be friends for life. So the question I raise today then, who now is your friend? What is his name? His name is Jesus, forever. Because we are one now with him. So are we beginning now to get an understanding of this title that we're talking about today? Salt must be added. Now, with that brief outline, we can now begin to look at Mark 9, verses 49 to 50. Now, you all know this very well. You probably got it underlined. But here we can begin to understand a bit more what Jesus was referring to here in Mark 9, verses 49 to 50. And what does he say here? For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourself and have peace with one another. So the Lord now is bringing further revelation, understanding from this offering up of salt, which we've looked back in Leviticus 2:13. This is what I love about the Word of God, how God unfolds the deeper revelations of his Word. And what I love about this is that flesh and blood cannot reveal this. This can only come by the Spirit of Almighty God. And now, look, he's beginning to teach them about salt. And that salt can become tasteless. It can become worthless. So it not only can cure meat, it no longer can do that, but it's also lost its value. And so he puts that over to a warning to us as believers. Now, this encourages us that salt keeps man from corruption and sin. That is the first thing I'd like to raise in this. We can be encouraged, for everyone will be seasoned with fire. So this salt has to have fire, heat, in other words. Now, of course, we know that when we cook with salt, we add salt to our cooking, don't we? To give it that flavour. And what are we doing when we're cooking? We're heating it up. So heat also helps with the flavour of salt. It brings out those inner minerals to be found, the flavour to be found in it. We know that a lot of herbs and things that we add with our cooking take on another flavour when heat is added. And so if you take that over spiritually and you take that over with us, when God sometimes allows us to go through the fiery furnaces, something happens with that salt. And that salt works to keep you from sin or sinning. We all of us still at times have weak areas in our lives, or we're prone to sin, falling short, in other words, of the high standard. So how does God work this within us? He says, for everyone will be seasoned with fire, because he's going to keep that salt working, preserving, and he's going to work to deliver us from the corruption of sin. In other words, sin having a hold over my life. And he says, he goes on, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. So it says, will be seasoned with fire and seasoned with salt. I'm reminded of John the Baptist when they asked who he was, and when he saw Jesus, he said, I baptize with water, but this one coming now will baptize with fire. And there we get again this idea of salt. He's the one now who can deal with sin and unbelief in our lives. That's why I say, don't give up hope. Don't give up on your faith, which is so precious, even though it looks hopeless. It looks as though God has deserted you, or you cannot understand what's going on. Don't give up, because what God is doing is preserving and keeping you. But he can't do that if you run away, if you hide. He can't do that. And so we stay in there so that we let this work be done. And so he preserves this sacrifice which you and I are, and he requires salt from that sacrifice as the fire falls. What does it say in verse 50? Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. Well, you're going to throw salt out if it's not much good. And probably some of us have. And why do you throw it out? Because it's not going to do the job. It's not going to help with the food that you're making, you're cooking with, or to give flavor. And so here's the warning. He says salt is good. Of course it is. Did you know that something like 6% of the world population eats salt? It's that important. So salt is good. But if salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? So this shows how salt can lose its flavor. And so we have also a responsibility. So it's not all God doing it. Of course he does initially, but he wants our will. He wants our cooperation. And that is what covenant is all about. It is two that come together to agree. And so we see then that this salt is good and it's going to save us. But if salt loses its flavor, you're not going to be preserved. And there is the warning. You see, losing flavor doesn't taste the same. And so that taste means that you no longer seem to have that word in your mouth, that love for Jesus, that praise, that worship that I once used to hear. I don't hear it the same anymore. Then it affects that relationship with God. Because always confession, Romans 10, is an indication of a Christian. It's what comes out of our mouth. And what we say from our mouth is what is in our hearts. And so it then can affect our relationship with God. We're talking about now if salt begins to lose its flavor. And if it starts to affect your relationship with God, it's going to affect your prayer life. It's going to affect the word that you hear, the word that you read and so on. It starts to escalate and then it begins to affect your faith. You no longer are believing in the promises of God that you once did. You begin to either ignore them or doubt them. And then you find that your witness and then your fellowship with God's people starts to be affected. You're no longer a meeting with them. There's not really that desire anymore. Why? Because salt is losing its flavour. And so, salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavour, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. So our fellowship, isn't it, as we're seeing here, is absolutely an integral part of this salt that we are looking at. And this fellowship means that you look to another and not to yourselves. You work at peace. You create harmony in the house of God. And a lot of that harmony is keeping the mouth shut. We have to bite our opinions at times. Sometimes we see things that are not as we like, but we die to it for the sake of keeping peace, harmony, and unity. That is a sign that that salt is working within one. Fellowship is a sign it's being accepted before God. The same back in Leviticus 3:2, where the salt offering with the grain was offered up. So it means that our unity, our fellowship, our love, our commitments, our praying one for another, helping one another, means this salt spiritually is accepted before Almighty God. That is absolutely important for a church, for fellowship. Yes, even tonight for us, even in this room, having fellowship. It means then that God is with us. And when God is with you, things happen. And we're all desperate for the presence of God. There's so many brothers and sisters in Christendom who are crying out for the presence of God in their lives. And here it is, fellowship is the key, because it's the house of God. And as I say so often, if you love Jesus, you love his body, and you can't separate, you see, because it has to be accepted before Almighty God. So my attitude, my heart, my fellowship with my brothers, my sisters, is absolutely paramount if it's to be accepted before God. I think we ignore that one many times. We've lost insight to the fact that every time we get together, and when we get together physically, is this meeting going to be accepted before God? Just like offering up that salt with the grain and so on. Well, as we bring this to a conclusion, let's read also Matthew's account of this. And it's similar in Matthew chapter 5. And look at verses 13 to 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. And here again we see Matthew's account. And he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavour, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So Matthew gives a further insight and revelation to what we've been talking about in Mark. This is why it is so good to harmonize scripture, to harmonize the gospel, so that we get this clear understanding of what we're talking about today. And we're talking about salt must be added. So he's talking here then about if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? In other words, he said, it's no good, throw it out so that it can just be trodden under the foot of men. But he says, you are the light of the world. So he's now bringing a further revelation of the idea of salt and what it's to do. And we've already spoken about fellowship, how important it is, how it is accepted before God. But he also says the salt, that you are the salt of the earth, is the light to the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So this salt that preserves and keeps cannot be hidden. Why? Because we are preserved by it. Our flesh is preserved by it. Our faith is preserved by it. Our fellowship with Almighty God is preserved by it. And he says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So if you are preserved by salt, you're in fellowship with Almighty God and each other. He says, this light, this lamp, you cannot put it out. You cannot put it under a table. You cannot hide it, because this is brought out for all to see in the house. In other words, you cannot hide this. And who wants to hide it? We want the light of the gospel, the light of Christ, to shine through us, to shine through our fellowship, to shine through the word of God and our prayers and so forth. That's what salt does. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So your works are important, but your works come by your commitment, your consecration with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how they come. And they will be seen. So your works are seen, and it's an indication that you are being preserved by the salt. It's preservation. And so Matthew brings out a further insight with regard to Leviticus 2 and what Jesus said here and so on in teaching. It's wonderful. I was so blessed when preparing this. You know, you read these things and we talk about it in passing, but it's not until the Holy Spirit, he focuses and he gets that spiritual microscope out. And then you start to go deeper into it and what it really means. So I think next time you look at salt, or you put salt in your food or in your cooking, you're going to look at that in a completely different light. It is a wonderful mineral, highly valuable, because it has such a spiritual application to it. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. I trust that you've been blessed by this exhortation today, and maybe you can take this away and the Lord will show you even more with regard to salt. But that's what we've been talking about today. Salt must be added, and God is going to add it. Whatever you go through, your trials, your tribulations, and most of us are all going through it, it's so that he is adding that salt to preserve and to keep you, so that you have flavor. In other words, you are a healthy Christian, blessed, enriched, walking before your heavenly Father, bearing much fruit that the world may see. Yeah.
or disaster. Let him in constancy fall.